Welcome to CoCurious, where sacred learning and financial traditions come to be reinvented so that wisdom and money don't compete. My name is David McLean, and we're powered by learningadvisory.com. I've experienced large organizations as environments where creativity goes to die. And I had the good fortune recently of attending a workshop by Celia Falkenberg and Nina Pierce, who are the co-founders of Creativity Wake Up. And one of the aspects that Nina and Celia discerned between is creativity and artistry. Celia, tell us all about that.
Yes, David, many people actually confuse artistry with creativity, but they're not the same thing. Artists can be creative, sure, but creativity isn't limited to art. Creativity is really about using your imagination to come up with something new and useful. That's really key. Creative intelligence is the ability to imagine possibilities and make them work, not just dreaming, but also doing something really valuable with those ideas.
This is such a good starting point because we need a new definition of creativity if we're going to develop it. If we're stuck in thinking and we hear again and again and again, as do so many of the creativity specialists in our community, we hear, I don't have a creative bone in my body. Well, I can't draw. And we leave it there. We were working with a group in this past week at a big insurance company, and this particular business unit is incredibly creative. They are stretching into new things. They are trying new things. They're really looking at their processes all the time. They're pushing the boundaries. And yet so many of them still define themselves as not creative. So I think the starting point of saying, what do we mean by creative intelligence and understanding what it is? We see so much of a shift happen in that moment when people can recognize they are already incredibly creative in how they think differently, in how they recognize patterns, in how they see possibility, etc. That's always where we like to start.
My father, in his memoirs, I learned that there were two things when he was a child. In a coloring in book, he colored outside of the lines, and he believed that when trees decided to move, it created wind. So the trees created the wind. And what I think is one of our greatest challenges is when we are young, we have unbounded creativity. We haven't yet got stuck in the have-tos, must-dos, shoulds, etc., where oftentimes that innate creativity that you've just spoken to in us is bludgeoned, often by ourselves. And this ubiquitous component of professional life is benchmarking. I have an aversion to benchmarking because I believe it further dilutes our creativity and our own worldviews, insights, and uniquenesses. Benchmarking by its very nature is pitting myself or pegging us as an organization against the proverbial best practice, which assumes that it is appropriate and better than what we can conceptualize and execute ourselves. What is the greatest challenge you experience in your work in unseating assumptions and legacy thinking and doing around the innate creativity of the human condition?
That's such a good question, but I would love to jump in quickly about just that mindset that you've been talking about. And it made me remember a book called Unlocking Creativity about exactly that. The book is by Michael Roberto, and he talks about six mindsets that in themselves are not bad, but they can be overused and then they become inhibitors to creativity. For example, the linear mindset is one of them, where A must lead to B. And then we get locked into this one process thinking, like we're going to research, then we're going to analyze, plan, budget, execute, and that's it. But actually, there could be a whole nother pathway. And the benchmarking mindset is one of those. And it says, what is everybody else doing? And we just adopt these copycat approaches without modifying them. And we manage by survey. But we're never going to get anything new in that way. Like Ken Robinson said, if we're too scared to be wrong, we'll never come up with anything original. What we see as one of the biggest inhibitors is self-doubt. We do a survey on mindsets, and we look at the mindsets. We've developed our own model of the 8 core mindsets of a creative thinker. We get people to self-assess and rate 2 of them. One of them is courage, and one of them is self-belief. So they're linked, but they're not exactly the same. The courage kind of is that daring and wanting to step out and pushing ourselves beyond the boundary. And then the self-belief, really feeling like I've got it in me, I can do this, and backing myself. And we see that again and again in teams where people are, that's their lowest that they've rated, and that's the one that they really want to develop. I mean, those two. And so for us, that speaks to a couple of things. It speaks to our own creative thinking habits and our own creative thinking strength. If we think about creative thinkers around the world, one of the things they're known for is just giving it a go, which all children do. You know, we see this in 4-year-olds. They will just give it a go. They're not worried. We become so worried about what people are going to think. We become so worried about making mistakes, about being chided, about how we're going to look, all of the self-consciousness. So we lose that individually, but also managers tend to train this now into businesses, or we tend to develop cultures where mistakes are the worst thing we can make. Everything has to be excellent and perfect and right, and we have to know the ROI before we start anything. And small little exploration and courage to try new things is trained out of us. And we just do as we're told. And then we often have leaders come to us to say, oh, my people need to take initiative. They need to think creatively. But really, we've been telling them the whole time, just do as you're told. No, there's no money for anything else. Just follow procedure. And that's where people get into, locked into those mindsets.
Celia, what's the most creatively brave thing you've done in 2025 so far?
David, I feel like I'm stepping out into a brave new world every day, because every day I really walk our talk. I'm actually a professionally trained architect and co-founded Creativity Wake Up with Nina in 2019. So I have had a major career change, although I'm building on and using all the lessons that I used as an architect in terms of design thinking and all of that, and put it into my work. It's just been such an adventure. We are both adjunct faculty at Gibbs Business School. I am going to be presenting to 130 final year engineering students at University of Cape Town in a couple of weeks. So that's an exciting project that I'm looking forward to. There's been many projects this year, continue to be, that we are always stepping in. And just finding more and more this need and this interest in creative thinking, even from the time we started our business. When we started our business, people were thinking, what are you doing? But it's actually becoming extremely mainstream. Harvard Business Review surveyed 500 global leaders, and 90% of them agree that creativity is a crucial attribute for employees. And the World Economic Forum has put creativity as the second most important skill that people are needing for future jobs.
It takes mindfulness to practice what we teach. So what do you do to create a continuum of your learning experiences beyond the conclusion of that day or that workshop or that couple of weeks of facilitation that you do, so that we don't have the spike of creativity and then fall back into our linear KPI way of being?
That's such a good question, and really what everybody wants to lean into. So there are a number of things that we do. So first of all, we design our programs that are spread out. So the learning is spaced. They have time to digest and try things out and come back to us, either in a second workshop or an online or whatever. Then partner people up with a buddy. And then we give them responsibility for each other. We actually make them sign a mini little contract with each other that they're going to help each other with their learning growth. And what do they commit to? And each program will be different, but it might be, for example, we commit to a conversation every 2 weeks, or we commit to helping each other do. One of the things we often do is look at micro habits and little creative thinking habits they're going to do and help each other with their habit tracker and check in, just like we all know how to do a sit-up. But when we have that personal trainer standing over us, we actually do it. And then we also have things like we have a drip feed program, which summarizes and condenses a lot of our content and exercises. And we put those in an email program that people get once a week for another 12 weeks or another 6 months following our program with a team to get things embedded. One of the neurocognitive scientists we love, Dr. Caroline Leaf, she talks about needing 3 cycles of 21 days to really embed that rewiring of your brain. So we try and make it longer than that, and including them taking responsibility for it. Also, what we've seen people do is involve their spouses.
Something that I believe we don't place enough emphasis on in learning design and facilitation is self-evaluation. Educators take on the full responsibility if there's not tangible shifts in behavior or tangible learning, then that's on me, as opposed to a shared responsibility. Nurturing self-efficacy is such an elusive thing.
Another tool that we found very effective is training the leaders. If we're working across a large organization, we might train the leaders separately to really empower them and then train the rest of the team. So they are already agents and advocates, which really amplifies their work.
Perhaps just to say that it's something that is often a big mindset shift, apart from what we said at the beginning, people really understanding what creative intelligence is and that creativity is not artistry, is thinking that it can be developed and to know I can change it. This for me was a huge epiphany when I realized I can change my level of creative intelligence. It's not like you're born with it or you're not. Seals, maybe you could share that story of Orange County and how there was a development there in creative thinking.
In the States, there was a small municipality of about 180 people, and they went through creative thinking training, and they were starting to learn to recognize where there might be friction or problems or things within their field. So we are talking about an entire municipality, from office workers to parks and recreation to trench diggers, everybody to look out for creative possibilities or ways that things could be improved. Over an 8-month period, had $600,000 of new revenue and $2.3 million in cost savings. So it's incredible when everybody in the organization all have this ability to think and see new possibilities in their environment. And for me, that's such a positive example with real return on investment for an absolute fraction of that creative thinking training.
And comes with amplified enthusiasm, a creative agency. A very natural byproduct of creativity in me is greater agency. It brings joy to what can easily become rote drudgery. The work that you guys do is helping us to unlearn that paradigm.
David, just to add on to that, I love how you picked that up, because that is a big element of what we do. And how do we measure this in organizations? But if I think, for example, of the Gallup organization and how they measure engagement, they talk about the impact of engagement on the bottom line. And where a person is engaged, they bring their brain and their energy to their work. There's so much to be said for this creativity as a fuel. You're trying to get through your day and you've had no food and you've got no fuel in your body, you just pop. You know, when you've got your fuel, when you've had your cup of coffee and your rusk, you're energized. And that delight and that joy in our work, we were working with a big law firm, and after our first workshop with a group, who were going to go on to become, you know, innovator sparks within the firm, one of them came to me and said, "Wow, your work is so joyful. And we see the energy in the room from the beginning of the session to the end just bloom. It's wonderful because people then bring that energy and that thinking fresh to their work, and it makes such a difference."
And the confidence, I mean, it's just wonderful. I'm thinking of one of our clients, which is a big veterinary chain. It was really transformational, the process that we did with them, from the receptionists thinking, "Oh my goodness, it's always chaos in our reception area. Why don't we separate the dogs and cats and just make life a lot?" You know, there were all these sort of really practical, people sometimes think of creativity and creative thinking as these massive innovative solutions and new tech solutions. But often it's those grassroots, the surgeon saying, "Let's organize all our tools better and make this more efficient." To one of the center managers of one of the clinics, actually developing that creative confidence to transform her whole clinic. And with that creative confidence, she actually is now one of their top performing clinics, has hired 5 new vets, all just through that joy and confidence and spark. And let's just try it.
The placeholder for my life is to be brave enough to be surprised. And a real epiphany I had, I hosted Renier Lombard on Co-Curious, and he said, "Build in public." It changed the way I craft and share. It's got this crazy delight about it now, as opposed to this overly obsessed hyper-curation. It's got a bounce now. Instead of wooden clogs, it's got a pair of really spongy slippers.
So we thought we'd love to do an exercise with you practically, just to apply some creative thinking to your real work life. So please, if you can get yourself a piece of paper and a pen, because you're going to be drawing outside the line, so to speak. For this exercise, the first step is to think about your work. And we want you to work with a challenge that you're facing now. So we would say, and David, you'll remember this from our other workshop, where we talk about spotting a crack. So there are cracks all around us. There are places where there are friction. There is something's not working as well as we hope. And we can think about a crack as a rock climber does, although it might deface the beautiful smooth edge of the mountain face, actually provides a place we can get a foothold. A mountain climber will use that in a beneficial way. And so a crack can be an opportunity to find a hidden place. As Leonard Cohen said, a crack is where the light gets in. So I'd like you to think about your work and take a bird's eye view. So this is a creative imagination exercise, when we use our imagination whenever we are thinking about something that's not immediately apparent to our senses. So in your imagination, you're going to zoom right out. You're going to, from a very high angle, look down on your work, all aspects of the outputs of your work. Maybe there's some cracks there. And then you can also look backstage in how you develop those outputs. So it could be how you manage your day, how you manage your time, or the tools that you use. Maybe there's frustration and cracks or friction. So we just want to give you a few moments to identify a key frustration challenge in your work and write that down. Okay, and over to Celia for the next step.
Turn that crack into an opportunity by asking the question, "What if?" Phrase that crack as an invitation.
If you are a leader in a company and you have half the people in your team don't speak up, you have some people who just dominate team meetings, and you're thinking, "How can I get everybody to contribute?" Instead of saying, "My meetings don't work well, people aren't speaking up," how you might rephrase that is, "How might I run my meetings or design my meetings in such a way that I get everybody's voice into the meeting. So you're going to ask the challenge as a question. That is an important reframe for your brain, because your brain is now processing this challenge in a new way. So now that you have changed that challenge into a question, you're going to put on a few different hats, and you're going to think about that challenge as someone that is not yourself. So you are thinking about your thinking. So this is what they call metacognition, but you are changing the way you're thinking by using a different lens. So perhaps you're looking at your business as if you were your child. How would a six-year-old look at this and think, oh, well, that's obvious? Or how might the world's top consultant think of this? And as you do this, we want you to start capturing your thinking in a mind map. Celia, can you describe that?
For a mind map, I recommend, if you've got a blank piece of paper, to turn it sideways to give yourself more space. And you put your central idea in the middle of the page, in a big circle, and then you start radiating out your ideas. Draw a line for each idea, radiating out like a spider with lots of legs coming out from a central body, and try and use as few words as possible just to capture the essence of the idea at a glance. And this is how our minds work. So your picture will look like a neuron, and in fact, we like this radial thinking because it encourages to build more and more ideas rather than putting things in a list, which almost closes off the idea. So we're going to give you 90 seconds of quiet so that you can just build that mind map and put your ideas down.
We hope that you were able to get down a lot of things. It's often surprising, I find, how much thinking I can do in a 90-second period. And that's another myth that we like to bust, that, oh, if I do creative thinking, it's going to take so much time. It's just a different way of thinking. Our minds operate incredibly fast. Another aspect of creative thinkers is they are people of action. It's not just daydreamers. People sometimes think, oh, creativity is just the daydreaming and innovation is the action. But actually, creative thinkers always about experimenting, trying, and moving quickly into action.